You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Hey, y'all, it's Elena.
And it's Candace.
And you are listening to Cousins on Crime.
What you doing?
You know, just trying to get set up, make sure my ringer's off so that my phone does not go bonkers in the episode.
Yeah. Did you do a potty break before this? Are you ready to go?
I did. Okay. I think I'm good to go. Same. I can give you at least an hour.
I'm losing my sexy, sick voice, so my sticky shoes. If you know,
Wondering how long you were going to,
Luckily, okay, it'll be back soon, I'm sure.
Yeah, you are traveling, so you usually tend to get down when you travel.
Yes, by the time this episode airs, I will be in Texas with you.
Yes, I'm so excited.
My time.
Yeah, I'm sure you're not excited for the travel because you do have that thing where you just tend to get sick when you travel.
I know, I do. It's that recycled air in the airplane. It just, it happens all the time. But I'm coming off the heels of a sickness, so I'm hoping that my immune system is like fighting the good fight right now. So,
yeah.
We'll see.
Well, I'll say a little prayer for you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Forever and ever.
Okay, sorry you guys had to hear that. I'll just go ahead and get started.
What's your case about?
All right, so today we are talking about a few different people.
Oh.
Yes, Jocelyn Watt and her boyfriend, Rudy Perez. This case was brought to my attention by my mama.
Oh.
So, you know, by one of our listeners.
Thanks for listening.
So thanks for the suggestion, Mom. Okay, so on January 5th of 2019, Jocelyn Watt and her boyfriend Rudy Perez were shot to death in their home on the Wind River Reservation in Wyoming.
Oh.
They both were 30 years old. Jocelyn's obituary says, Jocelyn Charisse Watt was born on January 28th of 1988. Her Indian name was Yellow Bird Woman.
I love that.
I'm not even... I don't know if I should try to pronounce the...
Give it a whirl.
Native... the native tongue. Okay. Nihani Hai Sai.
Sounds right to me.
And I probably butchered it, but she spent her first 2 years of life in West Germany before the family moved to Albuquerque, New Mexico for the next 2 years. The family then moved to Riverton, Wyoming, where she attended school and graduated from Riverton High School with the class of 2007. After graduation, she attended the Southwestern Indian Polytechnic Institute in Albuquerque, New Mexico. She lived there for 5 years before returning back to Riverton and making it her forever home. She was baptized in the Catholic faith and was a member of St. Stephen's Catholic Church and practiced her native ways as well. She worked as a server at the Red Willow Restaurant in the Wind River Casino. She enjoyed working with coworkers who became family. She will be remembered for her extraordinary customer service because she treated the customers like family. She will be missed most when customers came in to dine during special occasions or celebrations, but mostly for when she sang them happy birthday. So Jocelyn loved to sing and was outstanding. She is remembered to be someone who is very compassionate to others. Family always came first before anything and very protective of her loved ones. She was part of the Sand Creek Band and was the opening singer in the national anthem at the INFR qualifying finals rodeo in 2018.
Okay.
She loved to be outdoors, fishing, and going to the lake with sisters. She was very adventurous and did not ever hesitate to try new things. She was known to always have a good time and a fun person to be around. There wasn't a time where you wouldn't see her smiling or laughing. She also loved to cook and was a strong supporter of the New England Patriots and attended numerous games. She enjoyed going to public events, family affairs, and community gatherings. She always wanted to pursue a career in optometry.
Wow.
And she was very active and well-known in our community, always lending a helping hand. What a fantastic obituary.
When I listen to things like that, I'm like, how did she end up shot? You know what I mean? Like, how does someone like that,
right,
who's just,
I know,
doing their thing in their community, end up taken? I don't get it.
Lots of things in this world does not make sense, but I mean, I just, reading that, that's one of the most detailed obituaries I've ever seen, and I just think it's beautiful. Rudy Perez's obituary says, Rudy Perez lived in Riverton, Wyoming. He passed away on Saturday, January 5th, 2019. He was born in Brooklyn, New York, on April 21st of 1988. Rudy was raised in Providence, Rhode Island, and attended Cranston West High School. He earned his GED and relocated to Vernal, Utah, where he obtained an electrician license. In 2016, he moved to Riverton, Wyoming, and Rudy was employed as an electrician with Tri-Phase Electric. Rudy was a motorcycle enthusiast. He enjoyed cars, his pets, and going to the ocean. He was a caring person with a great sense of humor, bringing laughter and joy to everyone in his company. His greatest joy was spending time with his family and friends.
Wow, these are very detailed obituaries.
Yes. So on the afternoon of January 5th of 2019, officers arrived at the scene where Jocelyn and Rudy were found dead from gunshot wounds. In all of the reports that I read, I could not figure out how the officers were dispatched how they knew to go to the scene. It was an obvious double homicide. Investigators talked to neighbors looking for witnesses and answers, and a tip line was set up. Months, and then a couple of years go by, with no arrests in the case and really not much to go on.
So I have a question.
Yeah.
Do you know anything about how long they were presumed to be dead at that point when the police got there?
So yes, okay. I'll get into that here in just a minute, but to quickly answer your question, they were found the next day.
Okay. So yeah. Okay.
That was January 5th that the police had, come to the scene. So, I'll just here in just a second, I'll tell you.
Okay.
So eventually a teen named Patrick Sunrhodes was questioned. Again, none of the reports that I read were clear on how this questioning came about. The best that I could find was that Patrick Sunrhodes and his friend Bryce Turan had strong ties to the Wind River Indian Reservation. Could not find how this questioning came about, and that was very frustrating to me.
Yeah.
Like I said, there was not much to go on. But according to an affidavit filed on December 10th of 2021. So according to an affidavit filed on December 10th of 2021, and this was due to the questioning from Patrick Sunrhodes, Brandon Monroe, at the time of the murder, he was 16. Patrick Sunrhodes, he was 14. Bryce Turan was 21. Not sure if I'm saying that last name right. And Corbin Headley was 15. So four boys.
Jeez.
They were partying together in a truck that Bryce was driving on the Wind River Indian Reservation overnight on January 3rd and 4th. So the wee hours, midnight going into January 4th of 2019. So to answer your question, they were partying on the 3rd and 4th and they were found on the 5th.
Gotcha.
So Patrick said he was at his home in Fremont County when Corbin contacted him asking if he'd like to get alcohol. He met up with Corbin and Bryce at a home on the Wind River Indian Reservation. Brandon also joined them and approached their vehicle and told Corbin to get in the back. Brandon then sat in the front passenger seat and the four drank together in the vehicle. Patrick recalled Brandon leaving the vehicle to go into his house to get meth, and he came out with a gun.
Okay.
So Brandon got back in the vehicle and used the meth. Then the four drove to the nearby town of Riverton and parked in an alleyway behind Jocelyn Watts' home. On the way there, Brandon put on gloves and told the others in the vehicle that he had bleached the bullets so that he wouldn't leave fingerprints and loaded them into the gun. Patrick said he asked if he could go home, but Brandon said no.
I'd ask if I could go home when I saw the meth and the gun, but that's just me.
Yeah, I mean, he's 14 and he's like, okay, things are getting serious.
I think I need to go home now.
Yeah.
I need to get in my
PJs
because I'm 14.
He's trying to hang with the big boys.
The big boys.
So, according to Patrick, Brandon said he needed to take care of business, and he told Patrick, come with me. So, Patrick followed Brandon to Jocelyn's house and watched Brandon open the back door to the house by pushing or budging the door open with his shoulder. So they get in the house, and Patrick, he stays in the main living area of the house. He saw Brandon go into a bedroom, and then he heard multiple shots, gunshots. When Patrick went into the bedroom to see what was going on, he saw Brandon straddling a man who was lying in the bedroom closet and looked as though the two of them were in a struggle. Patrick said he saw Brandon shoot the man in the head, then pick up a shotgun from the closet floor. He also said he saw a woman lying face down on the floor next to the bed. Patrick ran back to the truck and Brandon followed him. Brandon got into the truck and said, go man, go, telling Bryce to drive, and they sped away.
Why? Why did
that
they go
is
there?
The only reason I can find is that Brandon said he needed to take care of business. There's nothing saying what business he needed to take care
that
of.
They knew each other? Like, he drove there to that
on purpose home. Yeah.
And knew yeah. what he was doing. Like, he had thought this out. Why?
He did. It was definitely premeditated. I mean, premeditated enough to bleach the bullets.
Oh, my Lord.
So that he wouldn't get caught.
I've never heard of that before.
No. So a report said that Patrick described the way that Bryce parked behind the house, which matched the tire treads found in the packed snow. I mean, if you look at a picture of the scene, there's lots of snow on mm-hmm. the ground, so you could see tire tracks. The firearm described by Patrick and is the same caliber as the one used in the shooting of Jocelyn and Rudy. The shotgun that Patrick saw Brandon grab from the closet was reportedly seen with him in the vehicle after leaving the scene, but neither firearms have been recovered. Patrick also had described seeing a blue and white motorcycle in the kitchen of the home.
Huh?
Remember, Rudy was a motorcycle uh-huh. enthusiast, and yes, he did park his blue and white motorcycle in Jocelyn's kitchen.
Well, I guess because it's snowing outside, maybe he didn't have a covered area to park it.
Cover, yeah.
That's a good girl, letting her man park a motorcycle in the kitchen.
Yes. A sweet girlfriend, and she was beautiful. We'll post pictures, but she was beautiful. So the latest I could find on the case is a report from county10.com in July of 22, so just a few months ago. The jury trials for Patrick Sunrhodes, Bryce Turan, and Corbin Headley were set for July 25th of this year, but that trial apparently did not happen. A new trial date was set for Patrick. Plea agreements filed on behalf of Bryce and Corbin, and Brandon's proceedings were currently suspended. Originally, Patrick and Bryce were each charged with 2 counts of felony murder, and Corbin was charged with 1 count of conspiracy to commit aggravated burglary, and Brandon with 2 felony murder charges and 2 murder in the first degree charges.
Wow.
So after Patrick's request to transfer the case to juvenile court was denied on July 14th, his jury trial was reset for September 19th, according to court documents. So we're still waiting. It seems like this month we might have a little bit more answers. Everything that I reported about the case is everything that I could find. So hopefully more answers will come out
during the trial.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like why? That's my main question is why.
How did they know each other? It seems very deliberate.
What business? Well, and it said Patrick and Bryce both were very familiar with the reservation and where Jocelyn lived. So I don't know if, I mean, it seems like they would have known each other, but nothing says it.
Huh.
Brandon Monroe, on January 27th, the court ordered a mental examination to determine his fitness to proceed with further hearings.
Huh.
I mean, he was the gunman. He was the mastermind.
What happened?
I don't know why.
Maybe he's grasping at straws.
And maybe his attorney is doing his best to help him out. I'm sorry I don't have more answers for you.
Lena, why?
But I know. I'm just creating more questions. So he was appointed to do this evaluation, which was filed on April 27th. It was conducted by the Wyoming State Hospital. And on June 2nd, the hearing to discuss the examination filings was held. It was ordered that proceedings shall remain suspended and that Brandon should be committed to a designated facility, the Wyoming State Hospital.
What?
To determine whether there is a substantial probability that he will regain fitness to proceed. So, I guess he's gone...
What?
Crazy. I mean...
Come on.
Yeah.
Put on your big boy pants and face the music.
I mean, and for being so young and then, I mean, if he's on drugs and, you know, you're going to go kill someone, that would make someone go crazy. But, I mean, he did it and he needs to be held accountable.
Yeah.
I mean, let's stop putting this off for the families, for crying out
loud.
Seriously.
I mean, I get, like, COVID has delayed a lot of things, but everything's open now, so
but
let's get back to it.
This all, the confession just came out in 21, so...
Oh.
December of 21, so we're just under a year that this has been going on.
Oh.
So, and it was said that a couple of the boys, I think it was Bryce and Patrick, they were saying, if it goes down, like, if we get caught, we're gonna say it was all Brandon and pin it on him. So I guess that was, so now he's mentally unstable. So both Bryce and Corbin had plea agreements filed on their behalf. They've confessed and have plea agreements, which are awaiting next steps. Something else that I would like to talk about is Nicole Wagon, Jocelyn's mother, and Jade Wagon, who is Jocelyn's sister. They were very involved in the case from the very beginning. Nicole and Jade both became involved with a nationwide movement that advocates for the end of violence against Native women. Mm-hmm. It's called the Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women Campaign.
I think I've heard of this.
You probably have. I think it's become more out in the open in the last few years because there have been a lot of Native women going missing.
Yeah.
And it's a problem. And that's, yep. I don't know if you've heard of this case very much. You may have since it's going through the trial processes and stuff. But the family has been very vocal about, you know, if this was any other case.
If she was white.
Yeah. She would be on the news. Oh, yeah. And, you know, why aren't these Native women getting the recognition? And, you know, their cases are going cold.
Yeah. It's a real problem. It's a bias among law enforcement, for sure.
It is. And, you know, I tread lightly on the, oh, if it was a white person, because there are a lot of white people that don't get recognition. Mm-hmm. But yes, Native Americans or Native women specifically, I mean, it's an epidemic, yeah, for sure.
And it's still happening. Like, you wouldn't believe some of the stuff. And I'm going to dig around because I have some cases I want to talk about in future episodes, but some of the cases you hear about happening these days, it's so archaic. It's so antiquated. Yeah. It's like, how is this stuff still happening in this day and age? I mean, you could talk about the same thing with African Americans. I mean, some of the stuff that still goes on, it's mind-boggling to me.
It really is. It really is. I mean, I just, we're all human. Mm-hmm. We're all part of the human race, yeah, and we should all be treated the same. I totally believe that. So Jocelyn's family, they plan to hold a memorial for the one-year anniversary of Jocelyn's murder. And on the day of the service, Jade did not show up. Nicole instantly knew something was wrong. As active as Jade was in advocating for her sister, she would not have missed this memorial.
Right.
Nicole reported Jade missing immediately. And Jade had last been seen leaving her job at the Wind River Casino on January 2nd. Multiple witnesses said they saw her leaving with some people. However, no one could report on where she was going or who exactly those people were. 3 weeks later, the police officers from the Bureau of Indian Affairs discovered Jade's body in a field about 30 miles west of Riverton. The family waited until March 6th to get answers, and they were very disappointed as the announcement by the FBI and the Fremont County Coroner's Office, they determined that Jade had died from hypothermia due to environmental exposure and acute methamphetamine intoxication. But Nicole, she still believes that Jade's death was a homicide.
Was she a drug user? Did she use drugs?
That I did not find.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know that. That was never brought to my attention in any of these reports. But I'll give you a little bit of her obituary, and you can kind of understand that maybe how it happened. So her obituary says she was 23.
Oh.
Her Northern Arapaho name was Cedar Tree Stands Alone.
Oh.
Jade was born and raised in Riverton, Wyoming. She attended schools mostly in Riverton and graduated from St. Stephen's Indian High School with the class of 2014. Most recently, she was preparing to attend Wind River Job Corp to obtain a trade and eventually make a career out of the medical field. Jade was baptized into the Catholic faith and was a devoted member of both St. Stephen's Catholic Church and St. Margaret's Catholic Church. Jade was also devoted to her native ways, attending sweats, fasting, and looking for guidance.
Okay.
She had a strong faith that no one could take from her. She worked at the Wind River Casino for a short time, and from the time she was 19, she had the privilege of being a stay-at-home mother to her two beautiful children. After losing her older sister, Jocelyn Watt, and brother-in-law, Rudy Perez, on January 5th of 2019, she became very active in the MMIW epidemic. She loved spending time with her family and raising her children. She loved laughing and terrorizing her younger sisters. Jade was known to have a one-of-a-kind sense of humor. You can find her cute, silly laugh in the largest crowd. She enjoyed traveling. She also loved to draw, write, and listen to music from many different genres. Going fishing, hunting, and simply just loved spending time in the mountains. Being outdoors and enjoying nature gave her that feeling of empowerment, of being free. So, I don't know. I don't know if they investigated her death. I mean, obviously the coroner came in. He said there was drugs in her system. Mm-hmm. Whether she took the drugs or was drugged by someone, I don't know. But she loved being in the mountains. She loved being out and being free. I mean, doing the sweats and fasting, part of the native culture. Was she doing something like that? And it was approaching the 1 year. So January, it was cold.
Yeah.
So was she out there alone doing one of her fasting? I don't know.
It just seems like someone who, and I could be way wrong about this, I'm not super familiar with drug use and maybe religious practices, but it seems to me like if someone was really concerned with practicing like the sweats and the fasting, that has a lot to do with like your body and your spirit and honing a certain feeling. And it doesn't feel like drugs would be a part of that. I mean, I could be way off, but it just...
I don't know. That culture has always been fascinating to me, but I don't know if drugs are involved in that.
What I can see is like weed and stuff like that that might be involved in ceremonial type things.
Herbal things.
Yeah. I can totally see that. But meth is like a really hard drug. And I feel like she was, I mean, obviously I'm just going by what you are telling me. I don't know anything about her, but it feels like she was really focused on a mission to spread awareness about her sister. And if her mother is automatically thinking this is foul play, then the drugs might be very suspicious.
Right. A mother knows. Yeah. And, you know, I mean.
Yeah.
But Nicole says, if you ever knew my oldest daughter, Jocelyn, she was so protective of her family, nothing would stop her. If this happened to me, My daughter would have stopped at nothing to make sure there was justice for her mom. And that's what keeps me going. I cannot give up on my daughters.
My God.
So her mom is, yeah, her mom is still advocating. Both of her daughters. And so I just wanted to bring awareness to this epidemic.
Yeah.
That, you know, there are women going missing that are just being left behind. Yes. And they're just saying, oh, it's hypothermia, you know, but.
Thank you for talking about this because it doesn't get talked about enough how.
Yeah.
Little attention these cases get.
Right. And like I said, that's why I don't have a lot of answers for you, mm-hmm. because there's not a lot of reports.
Yeah.
It's not being talked about on the news.
Yeah. You know what I wonder, too, is there's a parallel to the case I'm going to cover next week, but you said she loved being outdoors. She liked being out there. She liked being free. She knew the elements. She knew her limits. Like, why would she just stay out there too long? And it just seems odd.
It does seem odd. I mean, there are people that go missing or succumb to the elements in, you know, hikers in the mountains, avid hikers. It can happen, but you're right. This is something that she's used to. And I keep going back to a mom knows and like her mom, they were together all the time and advocating for her sister. She had a purpose for her sister and this movement. And
there's so much work that goes into that kind of organization. I'm sure they were working literally around the clock. And like you said, we don't have like all the answers for Jocelyn and her boyfriend's murder. So they were probably digging around for that information too. And that is a full-time job. So this is just very bizarre to me that what was it, a year later, her sister?
Yeah, a year later. Yeah. And so, I mean, to me, it kind of seems like she's speaking out on these issues. Mm-hmm. Did someone want to shut her up?
Yeah.
That's a question I have, but I don't know. It grieves me that this is happening. And I think it's more prevalent in like the Canada area and Wyoming and Montana. Mm-hmm. There's still native reservations, and apparently this happens a lot, and we don't hear about it. So just wanted to bring that awareness to you guys.
It just makes me feel sick that they don't feel protected. They probably don't feel protected.
Yeah, after all these years.
When their fellow man are going missing and nobody seems to care, how isolating does that make everyone else feel like? What if I went missing? Nobody's gonna care, you know? Like, is anyone gonna investigate that?
Right. It's a legitimate question. I mean, you've got family that you have a big family that will definitely make sure.
Well, I do. I do.
Yeah.
Who decides that a case is worthy of time and resources? Like, who makes those decisions?
Well, and these small towns, even, I mean, they don't have a lot of resources. We've talked about it before. Uh-huh. If they don't know how to investigate it, they just come up with an answer.
I know, but why doesn't the state police, like, why don't state police departments step in?
Right.
I mean, I get that they probably have a lot of cases. I understand, but I just feel like someone has to be looking at it. You can't just go, we don't know.
It's coming out more out in the open, and I hope that these cases will get more recognition and more more investigating help.
Yeah. I know there's a lot of bureaucracy in police departments and state police departments. I know to get a warrant, you have to go through maybe 3 different people to get a warrant. You have to, you know, but I just feel like that's what you signed up for. So.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Yeah. I mean, part of me wants to go up there and help these.
I know.
Native American women that are disappearing.
It's just scary because it feels like they're targets because nobody is.
In a way, yeah.
Nobody's going to care.
Well, I mean, and Jocelyn and Rudy, they got answers. They're still going through their trials and stuff. But still, I didn't find anything on the investigation. How they came up with Patrick Sun Rhodes. How they brought him in for questioning. Did he come in on his own to confess? It nothing told me how it happened. So
it makes you wonder he seems like he was the weakest link. If he hadn't been with them, would we even know what happened?
Exactly. He was the youngest one. And I'm sure, you know, by the time he confessed, he was 16.
Yeah.
So that's a big burden for such a young person to carry.
And he had expressed at the time that he wanted to go home. So he obviously expressed that he was not comfortable with the situation. I wish he would have gotten out of the truck and ran down the alley and gotten help or something. But here we are.
But, I mean, they all were drinking, and how much had he had to drink, and anyway.
Well, thanks for that case. Yes. It was sad, and funnily enough, I'm doing a missing case next week, so keep that back scratcher out for your head, guys, because I'm going to be doing lots of thinking.
Okay, well, just, I'd like to end on telling y'all, if you have a heart for Native American, maybe look up the Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women campaign and see what you can do to help.
Yes, I will.
All right.
Thank you.
So, this was great. Let's do it again sometime, guys.
Yeah. Let's do it. Bye now. Bye.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No.